Welcome to the Live Greater podcast series, information for a healthier you from the University of Maryland Medical System. This is an episode in a series of podcasts answering frequently asked questions about what's normal in childhood development and when parents may need to seek a specialist. I'm Nolan Alexander, and today we're diving into a topic that concerns many families, a parent's guide to what's normal, talking and communication. And with me today is Dr. Debbie Bodawi from the University of Maryland Medical System, who will share her expertise in child development and communication. Dr. Bodawi, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. And thank you so much for having me. This is an important topic.
It certainly is, and as a parent of two young children, I'm very interested in what you have to say today, because communication is a struggle at different points in dealing with a toddler, dealing with an infant in different ages. So I'm really curious of where we're going to go today. And just to set the table with it, kids learn to talk and communicate at different speeds, right? So what tends to be normal?
So there are some good guidelines out there about what is a normal progression of language. So for instance, by 9 months of age, we expect children to start saying mama and dada, and then around 11 or 12 months to start to have more words that they use to label things in their environment. There is a range, but there's also what we call an upper limit of normal. And there are some good guides out there as to when we should start to be concerned. So if kids are approaching that upper limit for, let's say, the number of words they have or how well they can respond to directions, those would be times to be concerned.
And what do you factor into how much parents should rely on those milestones?
They can rely very well on certain of those milestone charts. So the CDC actually has a great website called Learn the Signs, Act Early. There's an app on there that gives a range of what's typical for different milestones, not just communication. But the upper limit is where about 75% or 3/4 of children should have achieved a milestone. So that's a very good, reliable tool to indicate that most kids have reached this milestone by this age.
And which ones do you feel like matter the most when it comes to milestones, especially beyond maybe a count of words?
Absolutely. I do think that the count of words, more importantly, how children are using their communication. So are they just using words to label things in their environment, or are they starting to use words to try and get an adult's attention or to try and tell an adult about something that's going on? So it's not just the count of words, but the quality of how a child is using their language and how they're understanding language.
What do you mean by that, for how they're understanding language?
So do they understand simple requests? Probably the most basic one is when you tell a child no, right? Because that can be a safety issue. When toddlers are starting to walk around and we have to tell them no so they don't get themselves into a dangerous situation, right? But beyond that, it's being able to follow some simple directions, right? Like, go get your ball. And then, you know, expanding those, making those more complex directions. Go upstairs and bring your blue shirt down, right? So we get more and more complex as children get older.
So this is an area that I imagine you receive a lot of questions. But how really can parents tell the difference between a child who's developing on their own timeline and then one who needs extra support?
So that's a very good question. And I think those milestone ranges that we have let us know if a child is just on their own timeline or if they're really getting out of what we would consider the typical timeline. So again, for instance, if a child doesn't have a word besides mom or dad by the time they're 11 months old, that may not be as much of a concern, but if they're now 12 and 13 months and don't have a word, they're getting beyond that upper limit of what we would consider typical. The other thing really to look at is the quality of their language, like we talked about. Are they using words to try and tell you things, or are they just labeling items in their environment?
Something that I've talked about with other parents at times that we hear repetition, maybe pauses, or I've even noticed stuttering. How common are those, and when do they start to stand out?
Those are actually fairly common. About 5% of children will have some periods where they have repetitions, where they pause a long time before responding. That's most common in preschool children, but about 1% of children may persist in having those challenges as they get beyond the preschool years. I think the time to get concerned is if those pauses or repetitions are starting to impact a child's ability to express what they want or what they need, or if the child themselves are becoming very frustrated by their ability to communicate.
What about hearing problems? I've dealt with that before with my children and getting ear tubes, and maybe even noticed a little bit of difference in their speech there. But in general, what about hearing problems or stress that they're under or just changes in environment? Have you noticed any of those that affect communication?
Hearing problems should be the first thing that we check when a child has language delay. Many parents will say, "I know my child can hear." And yes, most children we see are able to hear, but they can have subtle hearing differences that can impact their ability to develop language. So hearing should always be checked as a first step. In terms of stress, there are a couple of ways that stress can impact a child's language. Just like adults, you know, when we are stressed and overwhelmed, it's harder for us to access our words, right? We may become a little more frustrated and have difficulty being able to express what's bothering us. But also, children may show some regression, not in their language skills, but in how they use their language. What I mean by that is it's not uncommon for children with a new sibling, let's say, to start to use baby talk in imitation of their sibling. They should certainly still be able to talk typically, but they may revert to using baby talk more often if they have a new sibling in the house. But stress impacts children and their communication ability, similar to how it might affect an adult.
Picking up on that topic a little bit regarding baby talk and maybe expanding it more if just the point of regression. So if parents are starting to see communication regression or a child all of a sudden starts using fewer words than they did before, what should parents do in that situation?
Actually, losing words or regressing in language skills is always a concern. So I think the first thing that should be done is consulting with the pediatrician. It could be a sign of a broader neurodevelopmental diagnosis like autism. Very rarely, language regression can be a sign of a seizure disorder. What we may see more commonly, as I mentioned, is more of that atypical quality to language if children, like I said, start using baby talk. But if they're truly losing skills in language, that's a concern. And if they're becoming much more withdrawn and just not wanting to interact, that can be a significant emotional concern. So I would start with visiting the pediatrician and getting at some more details around what's going on.
And in general, what have you found to be some of the best ways for parents to encourage and support their child's communication skills?
There are some really, really helpful ways that parents can promote language development. One is simply narrating as much as possible when you're interacting with your child. Some people call this the radio announcer effect. So for instance, if you're playing with some farm animals saying, "Oh, look, here's the bird. It's a bluebird," right? So just doing some very simple narration. Reading is an excellent way, reading to your child. If reading is not a favorite activity of yours, you can make up stories. So it's really that having children be able to hear language, whether you're actually reading a book to them or telling them a story, that's a fantastic way to promote language development.
And Dr. Badawi, anything else that you want to add to our topic of discussion today?
Two things I think that are very important. One is to remember that if you are concerned about your child's development, you should seek out an evaluation, either with your pediatrician or with infants and toddlers, which is an early intervention program. There's no downside to getting an evaluation. It doesn't hurt. And if your child's doing fine, then that's great. The second one that I think is very important is I've heard many families say that they were told their child was delayed because the family is bilingual. And that is not the case. Children who are learning two languages may get confused about when to use which language, but they don't fall in that range of language delay.
Well, that was very informative today, and I learned a lot, and I feel much more equipped as a parent in working with communication skills for both of my children. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure being here.
Listen to more at umms.org/podcast, YouTube, or your favorite podcast platform. Thank you for listening to Live Greater, a health and wellness podcast brought to you by the University of Maryland Medical System. And don't forget to check out other topics on A Parent's Guide to What is Normal. We look forward to you joining us again, and please share this on your social media.